Hi, y'all. You're listening to Ordinary People, Ordinary Things with me, your host, Melissa Radke, the ordinariest of us all. Here's a vulnerable sentence to share with you. I was sitting in my counseling session the other day. I'm laughing because anytime you start a sentence off with, I was sitting in my counseling session the other day. But I'm sharing this just to show you guys. Okay, so as I was talking to her, I was just so angry. I was sharing this with my counselor and I was so angry at myself for something. And I had gotten lazy and I had dropped the ball on something because that's what I do, you know. I drop balls and things fall through because Melissa got lazy. And so she goes, let's see. I was like, what? And my counselor goes, let me see. Show me your calendar. Let's see how lazy you were. And so I did. I showed her how lazy I had been. Because something I needed to get done didn't get done, and there I was in her office berating myself for it. Except, actually, if you looked at my calendar, it was full. Chocked completely full of work and responsibilities and podcasts and conference calls and writing and picking up Remy from cheer or getting Rocco to baseball practice or out-of-town sports on the weekends or eye appointments. Oh, gotta get that braces appointment. Gotta have dinner with my parents. Gotta pick up their prescriptions. And I realized that the problem wasn't I was lazy. The problem came when, because I couldn't do it all, I felt shame and anger with myself for dropping the ball. In trying to juggle 100 spinning plates, I dropped one. Never mind that I kept 99 of them moving. I had dropped one. Shame on me and you, because you feel this way too, no doubt. Stretched too thin. You know, it's interesting how we shake our heads at our children and their phones, right? And we say, this generation, we say they aren't even looking at each other in the eye. They won't even know how to communicate in 10 years. But do we? It's not that a phone is necessarily in my way. I mean, I guess. I mean, I'm on my phone a lot. I mean, we're not going to lie about that. But it's not even that. I think I could put that down. It's my schedule. It's my commitments. It's my to-do list. It's my career. It's myself. If the only rules about life that our children were ever going to learn came from us, what would they learn? Spin the plates? Juggle the balls? Check off the list? Would they ever learn space? Would they ever learn to be present? Would they ever learn how to say no? I can't wait for you to hear today's podcast, not just because I think it's important, although it is, but because I think it's necessary, y'all. And I do not think I could have asked a better voice, a better teacher, a sweeter friend to share her thoughts. Her book, Stretch Too Thin, is so, so good. And I'm so honored to have my friend, Jessica Turner, here. I can't wait for you to meet her. Welcome, Jessica. Hi.
Thanks so much for having me. Hello.
I'm very, very glad you're here. I have to tell you, I received Stretch Too Thin in the mail, and it said, what's the subtitle? How Working Moms Lose the Guilt, Work Smarter, and Thrive. And I thought, oh, well, then I'm not going to probably read this one because I don't work. I don't work.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. And then I started, honestly, I'm not kidding you, probably like a couple days after I got your book, my kids would start saying comments to me like, you're still on your phone. Put down your phone. You already did that interview. How come you have to leave? And I'm thinking in my mind, hey, y'all should be blessed to know that I am not even clocking in somewhere 10 miles across town. Like, I'm here with y'all. But it still doesn't mean that I'm not constantly working sometimes in their presence. I ended up picking up your book because I realized I am a working mom. If you're a volunteer and you give a lot of your time, you're a working mom. If you serve at a church, you're a working mom. I mean, we all carry around this guilt. I just found that your book came at a really unexpected time in my life and I got so much out of it. I ended up passing it on, which I hate to tell you that. Because when people tell me
they love that. Thank you for passing it along.
Okay, see, because when people tell me they passed on Eat, Kate, Be Brave, I'm like, what the crap? You couldn't just pay $20 and get your friend a copy. Like, help a girl out.
You know, it's better than being put in like the used book bin. You know, like you thought it was valuable enough to give to somebody else. So I'll take that. Thank you.
Okay.
Check it out at the library. Do whatever you need to do. Read the words. I'm grateful.
Well, it's called Stretch Too Thin, you guys, and I can't recommend it enough. I actually ended up giving it to a girlfriend of mine who I'm very close to, who is a career woman, works very long hours. I did not want her to be offended that I passed it on to her. She was quite the opposite. She said, Melissa, even the exercises that she has us do, like I took them and I'm pressing them down on the copier and making copies. Some of those were really beneficial to a woman who does, unlike me, work outside the home. So you guys go ahead and get stretched too thin. It's really great. But one of the first things I want to ask you, don't you think we have moved past the whole working mom versus stay at home mom? I mean, surely you don't still see this tug of war between the two, right?
No, we do.
We do?
I wish we weren't, but it really is still a thing. And, you know, I think it's really interesting with that story that you just shared that you saw the book and thought to yourself, this doesn't apply to me. And I would look at you and say, of course you're a working mom. You write books, you're producing a podcast, you've got a television show. Like, obviously you're a working mom. And the reality is 70% of American moms with children under the age of 18 work. And my definition of work is that you're bringing in an income. So you're juggling some sort of job responsibility, whether that's from home or in an office or at a restaurant, whatever that is, you're doing some sort of work. But for the women in particular who work from home, they don't see themselves as working moms. There's some sort of stigma around that term working mom that they don't want to embrace for themselves. And so I think that there is still work to be done, no pun intended, on the idea of embracing that you are a mother who also has a job.
I did not know that I was feeding into that.
I think that it's such an important conversation, which is why I'm so excited to be, you know, having these types of conversations on podcasts and with women at conferences and that sort of thing, because it's so interesting, even having a book with the title Working Mom in it, that was a long discussion with my publisher and with lots of trusted friends about whether or not we should put that on there. And was that going to pigeonhole the book? And I have one friend who has literally sold millions of books. Okay. She is a working mom. And she said to me, oh, I would never pick that book up because I don't think that's me. And so, you know, I do think that there's something that we need to say for ourselves that we, for some reason, don't want to call ourselves working moms sometimes.
I think
because, you know, there's this social stigma that's probably from our parents or our grandparents where we, you know, looked at the June Cleavers of the world and we thought that was kind of the idealized mom. I think for women in the church, it has maybe been more of a struggle for them. I hear from a lot of women who say, you know, all of my friends are stay-at-home moms and I'm the only one who's working and I feel really alone in this. And your book really spoke to me because I realized I wasn't alone. Or they want to hide how much they're working or how much they're investing in their business. You know, maybe they have a business like Pampered Chef or LuLaRoe or something like that, but they're just like, oh, I just do that on the side. I'm a stay-at-home mom. They don't want to embrace like, you are a working mom, which is tremendous and valuable, and you're serving your family in a very practical way of bringing in an income and doing something that you love and you're passionate about. And for some reason, there's a lot of women out there who don't want to embrace it or who don't want to say it. I don't know if it's embracing. I mean, they're doing the work, so they certainly are embracing it. But yeah, it's really interesting to me.
Honestly, I never have cared a hoot if you call me a working mom or if you don't call me a working mom. In fact, that's never been a stigma, like you said, for me in general. I think that I felt guilty. I just remember a couple of years ago, I don't even remember where I was, but it was a social setting. And one woman was saying to another woman, but you don't understand because I'm working 40 hours a week and you're selling Rodan and Fields from your bathrobe. And it was a really hurtful comment.
Of course it was.
Now, these were two sisters. Let's state that for the record. Two sisters saying this to each other, but it was a hurtful comment. And from that, I took... Here's the rule. The rule is if we don't get in our car and leave our home, then we're not technically a working mom. But I saw in my kids' eyes that day, no, you're a working mom because every time we want you, you're on your computer or you're doing an interview. So who cares if you're doing it from a bathrobe? If you're bringing in an income for your family, you're working, you're making it happen. And, you know, we are delivering this podcast to you around Mother's Day. And first of all, Jessica is a friend to women. The first time I ever met Jessica, she came to my book signing in Nashville. Do you know how many people do a book signing in Nashville? A whole lot. But she came to mine because I find that Jessica, and I've done my research on you, friend, aww, through other friends, is a friend of women and like a big supporter of women. And so that right there just told me an immense amount about you without you ever having said a word. So I knew that I liked you instantly because you're out supporting and brought your kids. Like, you could have been doing a million things that night, you know? So I just really appreciated that. But I don't think that this book is just for working moms. I think it's for busy moms. And raise your hand if you're not one of those.
I absolutely think all of us can relate to the feeling of being stretched too thin, for sure. The book, I did a survey, which you know from reading the book, where I surveyed 2,000 women who work. And by work, again, I mean some sort of income. And so it is written from that slant of a job on top of all of the other responsibilities. But I think what you're saying is true. And I think that if you are a stay-at-home mom who feels stretched too thin, you'll still get a lot of value from the book. Absolutely. Just going into it with eyes wide that there is going to be some corporate America speak and some job stuff that may not feel relevant. I think there's a lot that is still relevant. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You actually open up the book with a story right away about how you were in the middle of the writing of it and you wanted to take your family to a pumpkin patch and you broke down on the phone with your husband crying. And I'm laughing right now a little bit because how many of us, like, it's a pumpkin patch for the love, and how many of us have not just cried because that wasn't the plan. The plan was this was going to be a family moment, whether you wanted it or not, kids. Talk to us about that moment and how you felt.
Yeah, I was really overwhelmed. So I work full time in corporate America, an 8:30 to 5 job. And then I have this lifestyle blog and do speaking and writing books. So I work a lot. So I fully am a working mom and was in the season where I was working 7 days a week. I was working at the day job. I was writing on the weekend. I was writing first thing in the morning, like leaving my house at 5 to go write before I'd work all day. And I frankly was really stretched too thin. But I needed that like family moment of this is what we do in October. We all go to the pumpkin patch. We all take the picture on top of the truck that's at the entrance. Like, that's what we do every single year. And it just seemed in that moment that there was no way that it was going to work. And I just lost it. And I think we all have those moments where we feel so overwhelmed that the littlest thing is that straw that breaks the camel's back, you know, and just sends the waterworks going.
Did you go?
We did. We made it work.
Was it the memory in your mind that it was cracked up to be, or?
Probably was. You know, we take that picture every year. And so I would have been really ticked looking back if we didn't take it that year because I had been working too much, you know, but it probably mattered more to me than it did to anybody else in the family.
Yeah. I think that all the time. There are so many things that I do that I think, oh, you're going to grow up and you're going to thank me for this. They're never going to remember it. Oh man, it's the things that we don't even plan that just happen naturally that they're never going to forget. So you address some of the greatest struggles that working moms specifically have, which you write about. There's boundaries with work. You write about fostering meaningful relationships with our spouses, with kids and with friends, practicing self-care, managing our homes. You've done so many podcasts about this book, so many interviews. You did your research great. What is the greatest struggle?
Oh, it's a toss-up. So the research shows that the greatest struggle is either self-care or managing our homes. And the reason why I say it's a toss-up is in the survey that I did, 80% of working moms cited those two things, that those were the biggest struggles. And it was literally the data was the same. I would say anecdotally, I think self-care is a little bit more of a struggle. And my first book, The Fringe Hours, Making Time for You, dealt solely with the idea of we've got to take care of ourselves. And that when we take care of ourselves, we're able to be better wives, better moms, better friends, better people. And so I think that is probably the biggest struggle. We are really great at taking care of everyone else and saying, you know what? I'm going to skip that doctor's appointment. I'm not going to go to the gym today. I'm not going to eat that healthy thing. I'm just going to go grab fast food, whatever, because we think that we're serving everybody else and that's more important. And what eventually happens is we crash. And that is then devastating. And then we can't do all of those other things well. And so I think the quicker we can learn the lesson that pouring into ourselves is not selfish, that it actually is necessary and it's important. And I think looking at it through the lens of motherhood, that when we are taking care of ourselves, our kids are seeing that and they're going to grow up to be people who take care of themselves because they saw their parents doing that. And I think that's really a powerful habit to model for our kids.
Okay, so let's talk 101 here. Very basic. When you say self-care, For those listening and they're thinking, I'm sorry that I don't have time to get a massage. We're not just talking about that, although that's nice.
Right. Yeah. Self-care is so much more than manicures and massages. Yeah. It's just what I think that the buzz feeds of the world, that's what we think of when we think of the, you know, like 51 ways to take care of yourself. And it's all those types of things. But it really is a holistic, like investing in your passions, investing in your body, taking care of yourself spiritually, mentally, emotionally, all of those things together are self-care. I recently did a time tracking exercise where I tracked my time for a week, which I think can be a great benchmarking tool for women who feel overwhelmed and that they don't have time for themselves, is to see where your time is going. And it was a week where I was working a lot. And here I am, an advocate for women and practicing self-care. And I was like, you know what? The only self-care I've done this week is go to bed early. I need to get moving. I need to take time to read a book because that really fills me up. You know, I need to do some of these other things because I am feeling kind of stretched too thin this week because I'm working so much. Consequently, I'm sleeping because I'm so exhausted, but I need to maybe reframe some things.
That honestly was my very next question. Towards the beginning of the book, let me just say this for people who haven't read it. You ask women to take a good, long, honest look at where they are right now because we can't move forward unless we identify what our present looks like. And in doing so, you have them do some exercises. One of them is tracking your time. And I thought that this was huge. I'm not going to tell you what I tracked. I got in the habit when we were filming for the show, I would find that in my downtime, I would do some things that were mindless and that helped me kind of escape and just be in my own little world. And then I found that when we finished doing the show, I just kept doing those. And they are time killers. So this was huge for me. I think if we all, that's working moms, non-working moms, grandmothers, volunteers, if we took a moment and tracked our time, we would be shocked. Talk to us about how to do that and the importance of it.
So you can download a free time tracker on stretchtoothinbook.com. So you don't have to get the book to do this. You honestly can do it on a sheet of loose leaf. It doesn't really matter. There's nothing fancy about it. But you're literally tracking everything you do for a week. You're tracking what time you wake up, how much time you spend doing the dishes. There was a lot of laundry on my time tracker, the time you spend at work, at church, whatever, all of the things. And then at the end of the week, you look at the time tracker and say, okay, what were the need to do's? Like, what are the things I cannot take off of here? Like, for instance, for me, I have to be driving every day by 8 o'clock to get to the office. I generally am going to get home at about 5:45. That's a non-negotiable. I can't really change that. But can I change how I'm using my lunch hour, for instance? You know, instead of eating at my desk, can I go out? Can I run an errand or can I meet a friend for lunch or, you know, use that lunch hour different? It's also important to look at how you were feeling during the week, you know, because sometimes everything looks good on the calendar, but you're a hot mess and you're stretched too thin because you really should not have booked yourself that back to back to back. So think about those things. And then think about what did you say yes to this week that you really should have said no to? There's so many things in life that it's just easier if we say no from the get-go, but we say yes because we feel guilty or we think that we should. And I really live by the mantra that if it isn't a heck yes, then it's a no. And so look at, man, did I volunteer for that thing because I felt like I should or because I really wanted to do it? Because that can be a great indicator of some pockets of time you maybe can free up for yourself.
Well, in a question that's a little bit of a chasing a rabbit, I just want to ask you a question because it applies to me right now. When you said my mantra is if it isn't a heck yes, it's a no. Do you do that across the board? Like even for like, say, social events that you feel compelled or out of obligation I need to do? Do you do them or do you say that's a no because it was never a heck yes?
That's a loaded question.
It is. I'm full of loaded questions.
I really try to live like that across the board. There are exceptions to that. And I think particularly working in corporate America, you know, there's just going to be things that you have to do because it's your job to do them. But I think if I have the choice, I'm pretty good about saying no. I mean, honestly, I think I'm on the flip side where I would love to have more choices of being invited to things and having that opportunity. Usually I feel like I'm on the outside or looking at Instagram and being like, why didn't I get invited to that? But I think I'm pretty good about it. You know, like my son's teacher emailed me at the beginning of the school year and said, would you be the room mom? And I even kind of like room mom things. I like planning Valentine's parties and the like. But I knew that it was going to be a really busy year and that I wouldn't be great at it. And even the fact that I had to pause was a good indication to
me. When you said room mom, I just like my stomach went, That's a big hell no for me.
Exactly. So I said, you know what? I am not the right person for this. And I said, no, because you know what? At the end of the day, it would have been really stressful for me to do that this year. And it would have been the thing that I looked at my time tracker and was like, why did I say yes to that? Like, it's just easier to say no from the beginning than say yes to something and then have to backtrack. So I think I'm pretty good at it. I don't get guilted into a whole lot when it comes to my time.
Well, one of the things that I was talking about specifically is I get really nervous in dinner parties and things like that make me really nervous. Small talk, a lot of mixed company. These people I work with, these people I go to church with, these are my neighbors. I don't know them well. Let's just say this. I'm sweating just talking to you about it. And I was starting to get asked to go to a lot. And one night I just said no. And my girlfriend who was throwing it said, that really bothered me, really hacks me off. You can't just suck it up. And I'm giving you full rein to tell me if I'm a terrible person. I said, no, I'm in my 40s now. I don't want to suck it up. If it's taking me away from my family and my kiddos, and I already devote so much time to other things right now, then no, I don't want to have to do anything that I am miserable doing. And I just have to tell myself, come on, Melissa, suck it up. Like, aren't I past sucking it up?
Yes. And I think that is amazing. And I think that your friend should have respected you for saying that. And I think that's so empowering to hear. And I think that's empowering for your children to hear their mother advocating for the way she's spending her time and how she wants to invest and how she wants to invest in her family. I think that's amazing. We don't do small group at church because you know what? It just stresses me out. It's one more thing on the calendar. We've got soccer. We've got other commitments. Like right now, it is not right for our family. And here's the thing. There's lots of great things, but just because it's a great thing doesn't mean it's a great thing for you right now. So even though that party might have been really lovely and you want to support your friend and all of those things, it wasn't a great thing for you in that moment. And so, you know what? I think having strong boundaries and being able to say, you know what? This is just not a great fit for me in this season. I'm really overwhelmed. I've been gone a lot and I need to be with my family. I missed my work Christmas party this year. And everyone was like, how were you not there? I said, you know what? My son had a Christmas show. My family always wins. Sorry, the end. I wasn't going to stress myself out going for 30 minutes, doing the cocktails, then getting over there. Like, no, I'm just not doing it. I think that's good. I think we all need to empower one another to be able to say no and to support one another when we do say no.
Well, to be honest, when I told her that, she just kind of looked at me like, I want to do that. And I said to her, you're a social butterfly. You can do this. You can flit around from dinner party to dinner party and be fun. I wear myself out. I'm completely drained by the time it's over. But find your thing, girlfriend, and say no to it if you need to. Like, we're okay. And let's not hold shame over each other when we do it. So that was kind of a good moment that I just kind of breathed that. But the other thing, you know, I follow you on social media and we're going to link to you so that everybody can follow you. I know you're like, oh, great.
I love it. Thank you.
But you are a person who, lest you think that Jessica has got it all figured out and she is rubber, you are glue, and everything you say bounces off her and sticks to you. She's still a woman. She still has feelings. She's still sensitive. And you do get your feelings hurt sometimes when you're not included. And you feel like working moms are often left out because, and I'm putting up my air quotes, we just knew you couldn't. Talk to me about that, because I do feel like your sensitivity to that is a little bit different than mine, but it's very much akin to a lot of people listening today.
Yeah, I posted about this in the fall or winter on Instagram because I live in a city where there's a lot of female entrepreneurs who have a lot of flexibility in their schedule. And consequently, there's a lot of lunches and afternoon activities with people that are good friends of mine. And I often am not even invited. And I know that I'm not invited because they know that I work. And so they just are saving the ask, I guess, and, you know, not even bothering because they know that I'm not going to take off to go to a lunch. And that is hurtful to not be included or to not be seen, or even just for somebody to reach out and say, hey, we're doing this thing. I know you're at work. We would love to have you if there's any way you can come. And let me say no. Let me say no 100 times, but be seen, you know, to be included. Or, my goodness, one time, could you just do a dinner? Could you just do a dinner? And you know what? Sometimes it feels like even the dinners happen, but I just haven't been on the guest list for all of those afternoon activities that then I don't get asked. And I don't think that it's an intentional thing. I think it's just, oh, she was working all day, or you know, I wasn't in the rotation. And so then I don't get included in that. And so I think it's just really important for working women who are like me and who have that 8 to 5 to have those honest conversations with your friends and say, please still invite me. This is hurtful. I want to be included. I know my job makes it difficult, but I still want to be included. And I think it's also an opportunity to say, hey, can we do something at night? Sometimes that means I have to take the initiative to plan the thing so that I can see those people. And then I think for women who are listening, who that's not their story, or they're the ones having the afternoon events or the luncheons, to remember those women that don't get to participate in those things and figure out a way to include them or let them know that you're thinking about them or that you wish that they could be there, because it really is meaningful to be seen.
I actually found it very vulnerable of you to write that. That is like a taboo topic right there, girl. The not getting invited, the being left off the list. We don't want to talk about it because A, we don't want people to know that we were left off the list. And we certainly don't want people to think we were ever heard about it. So I think it was very vulnerable of you to write it. And what it did for me was it told me that I don't care if I get 100 no's from this particular girlfriend. Every single time it lets her know, you were not forgotten. You were not forgotten, because there's going to be a day out of 100 no's, out of 99 no's, there will be a yes. And I wanted to always know that she's who we thought of. How would they feel? So I just always try to ask myself that question. How would that girlfriend feel? Or I'm sorry, how would I feel if I knew that she constantly had things and I was never on the list because she just assumed.
Right. Thank you. Thank you for bringing that up, because I do think that it is really important. And in the story that I shared on social, it was for a brunch event. It was like an 11 to 2 o'clock event. And I did work that day and I changed my work schedule so I could go, and I was able to work and be there. Now, I'm not going to be able to do that all the time, but I did it that one time and it was incredibly meaningful to me. And I think that they asked me fully intending that I would probably say no. And so it was really nice to be able to say yes that one time.
I color my hair a lot, and my latest salvation has been a Moroccan oil hair mask that I am mildly obsessed over. Where did I get it? My FabFitFun box. That's right. For the price of that one hair mask, I got an entire box full of the best beauty, fashion, fitness, and lifestyle products currently on the market. Full size, name brand, every season. Make no mistake about it. FabFitFun box, it's a guilty pleasure of mine, and it should be one of yours. I can't keep up with what's new and current, and I certainly don't have time to track it down. Don't worry, your FabFitFun box will hold some of the latest and greatest products on the market now. You can even log into their site and customize your box to suit you personally. Whereas I might want a hair mask, you might want a bathrobe. I might want a leather backpack. You might want an under eye cream. So your box, your needs. Go to FabFitFun.com today. Use the code ORDINARY as your chance to get $10 off your first box, and thank me when you see me. Okay, so this leads me to another section that I felt like was glorious to read in your book. You talk about subscription services that are, let's be honest, they are available today like never before. Now, I live in a small town, so I have clothes subscription sent to us, because if I don't have Stitch Fix sent or Nordstrom Trunk Club sent to me, then I'm essentially at Easter time at church, we're all wearing the same dress as like,
right,
you know, everyone. But also I'm a plus size and you don't find a lot of that in a small town. So I get those subscription services and I feel not bad about it, because I want to look nice like everybody else. And I don't want to be relegated to just that back small corner in Target. But I have spent a lot of time apologizing for the services I use, and I'm not going to anymore.
No.
I use HelloFresh or whatever because I don't have time to grocery shop every week, but I like healthy meals for my family. I use Stitch Fix because I hate shopping and I don't have a wide variety here, but I like for us to look nice. And you talk about the beauty of that. So talk to us a little bit about that and why we should not feel bad.
We should not feel bad. In fact, I really encourage women, you know, if we think about the idea that 80% of us are stressed with home management, and I think grocery shopping, shopping for clothes, all of that is right in there. Subscription services and automating our lives is an easy way to streamline that. So I'm going to talk about another concept that I bring up earlier in the book called mental load. So mental load is the largely invisible job of noticing and remembering. So it's, oh, we need light bulbs. Oh, we need toilet paper. Oh, we need to go get our sports physicals, all of that, right? And when we automate and have things sent to us and subscribe to things, it frees up our minds to not have to be thinking about that. You're not having to think about what you're going to wear on Easter because you know that you're going to be getting that subscription box of clothes on the first Tuesday of every month. So it actually saves you time, which in fact saves you money. And a lot of these services are extremely competitive with what you're going to find in a big box store anyway. One of the services that I love is Grove Collaborative. And I once did an apples to apples comparison and I bought all the exact same stuff at Target that I had ordered from Grove just to see if it was true. And absolutely, it was cheaper from Grove. And I didn't, you know, stop at the dollar section and stop at the jewelry section and all of that, right? Which added a lot more to my Target total. So I think it's a phenomenal use of our resources to use those types of services.
And even a house cleaner. You know, you're in Nashville. I'm in the deep south here in Texas. And I don't know what the deal is, man. But like, it is like a pride thing. I have found that you do your own house. People don't come in and see your dirty laundry, Melissa. I do think that my generation of women are probably like, oh, screw that. We're getting somebody to help us. But I would say older than me, they kind of feel that way. I have found that our housekeeper coming in once every couple of weeks is just so, come on, that gives me my time back and my time is valuable. And mom, your time is valuable. And volunteer, your time is valuable. And pastor's wife, your time is valuable. So you say that those services are like, reward yourself with those.
Yeah. And it's not even rewarding. It's being a good steward of your resources. And one of your resources is time. You know, I mean, I've got a cleaning service that comes every other week. And it's something that we absolutely have had to budget for. But it is three or four women that come every single time. And they're here about 2 hours. So like, that's 6 to 8 hours of professional cleaners, which I guarantee you would be like 12 hours of my time. I do not have 12 hours to strip all the beds and to clean all the toilets and to do all of that, that they get done in two. So it's extremely life-giving to our family. Plus, I think about the fact that it is actually helping their business.
Yeah.
Right? So by me giving them business, it's helping them to support their families.
Yeah.
So this is just nothing but win-win-win here.
Honestly, that is so freeing. And I'm glad you said that. I shouldn't have used the word rewarding. It's not rewarding. You're right. It is being a good steward of our time. She does an excellent job. She doesn't overcharge me. I don't have to overpay for that. There's a lot of house cleaners around here. So it's a competitive business. They keep their prices normal. Come on. So I think it's a win-win. And I wish that more women would consider it. I actually talked to a mom who had taken time off of work because she just had a baby. She would never get a housekeeper because she said, but that's what my time off of work is for. I said, no, my love, it's for the baby. Get this help. I tell you what, she got that help and she's never looked back. You have a quote in your book that says, I believe many working moms miss out on friendship because it is something they don't fight for. I can tell you that we live in a world that fights for my time. The world is jealous of my time and everything will pull for it. We have to fight for these things. We have to fight back. Otherwise, we lose them and we lose touch with our tribe and our people. Have you found that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think even maybe more so for me because of the type of work that I'm in and the limited time that I have, I really have to make it a priority to make that time to be with other people. I have so many women say to me, well, I feel like I can't go out with my girlfriends because I'm already gone all day. And so I shouldn't be gone at night and be away from my kids. And I'm like, do your kids ever have play dates? They're away from you because you're probably running them on a Saturday and you think that's a good thing for them to be around friends. So why wouldn't that also be true for you? Like, again, it's this, you know, we're the sacrificial lamb here and we can't have friends because we're mothers and we need to be with our children 24/7. Listen, if you're married, let their father be with them and go and get some margaritas or whatever with your girlfriends and get that time. And again, it's important to model relationships for our kids. And so I think it's also important just for our kids to see us doing other things that are life-giving to us. I go to a book club every other month. My kids are not suffering because 6 nights out of the year, I am not with them because I'm talking about books with girlfriends. So it's just a shift in how we maybe perceive our time or our week, but it's so life-giving and I come back so refreshed and alive in a different way than when I'm just at home investing in kids and doing laundry and that sort of thing. Not that that isn't joyful to me to get to have a family and be able to invest in my kids, but I need more than that. And I think we all do.
Well, talk to us about in the book, glass balls, for those who haven't read, versus rubber balls.
This is one of my favorite analogies, and I wish that I could claim it, but it actually came out of the survey. You know, we talk a lot about how we're juggling a lot of plates, but we think of those as all the same. You know, when I visualize someone juggling balls, I think of those red rubber balls that clowns juggle in the circus. But there's actually two types of balls that we're juggling. There's rubber balls and there's glass balls. And a rubber ball, when we drop that ball, it's going to remain the same. It's not going to be impacted at all. But when we drop a glass ball, it will crack and eventually it will shatter, right? And I think if we think about life this way and all the things that we're juggling, we often treat our homes or our work as glass balls and we treat ourselves like rubber balls. And so we think, oh, it's fine if I don't get enough sleep. Oh, it's fine if I don't go out with my girlfriends. Oh, it's fine if I don't get that exercise. But really, drop, drop, drop. That's crack, crack, crack. Skipping that doctor's appointment, you know, and eventually we'll break. But you know what? If you skip doing the dishes one night, they're going to still be there. There's not going to be a real big impact. If you don't answer that email until tomorrow, it's not really going to be a huge impact. And so I think it is a great analogy for how we can shift our thinking into what truly matters. We're not going to get to the end of our lives and think, man, I really wish I had spent a little more time on Facebook. But we are going to get to the end of our lives and think, man, I wish I had spent more time with the people in my life, or I really should have taken a little better care of myself, right? Like those are the types of thoughts we might have. And so I think looking at life through that lens and treating ourselves and our relationships like glass balls and everything else as rubber balls is a really healthy perspective.
I'm literally sitting here thinking about what my glass balls are, what my rubber balls are. I didn't provide all the gifts for all the kids in Rocco's class this year for Christmas. You know what? Rubber ball. Rubber ball. They don't care. I wasn't the mom who signed up to bring all of the cupcakes this year for the big party. You know what? It's a rubber ball. That doesn't matter. That is never going to change. Parties are still going to go on and all the kids in the class are still going to eat and everybody's going to be fine. You know, as my granny used to say, you're going to go to heaven happy. And so we say that around our house a lot. If the dishes are sitting in the sink tomorrow morning when I wake up, or if the laundry actually sits wet in that washing machine for one evening, in the end, we're going to go to heaven happy. And so it's really, what are the priorities here? But what would you say as we wrap up to the mom listening right now? She has it on in her office. Okay. She's playing this in her office. She misses her kids. She's missing their school play today. Or the mom who has babies, but wants desperately to just go back to work because she feels called to it. Do what she's always wanted to do. Or the mom who works part-time, but feels guilt most of the time. What do you say to make them know that it's okay? That it's okay to want to fight for what they want and that what they want isn't selfish?
I think I would say, think about how you're feeling right now and use this as motivation to make change in your life. So if you are at work and you're feeling guilty because you're missing something for your kids, can you talk to your boss about changing your schedule so that you can accommodate that? Can you try to find a bit more flexibility, or can you do something with your child so that you feel connected to them because you missed that one opportunity to be together? Or if you're at home and you're feeling like you really want to go back to work, figure out what that looks like to arrange for childcare or to find work that will allow you to be at home and be investing in your kids. I think so often these feelings come up and we just push them aside instead of saying, what is this trying to teach me in this moment? And how can I use these feelings to drive me to make change so that I can really feel like I'm thriving?
Jessica, that is so good. I have no doubt that every mom who is listening to this today has taken away some part of this. I think you speak so well to the mom that is stretched too thin, that is pulled in a million different directions. So kudos to you. You really, really do. And I just assumed because I read the book that I probably wouldn't get a lot out of this interview here because I already knew it all, right? But you really speak to the heart. Like, you sound like us. You look like us. You know, you worry about your kids like us. No doubt that door behind you, when you closed it, you had to set aside a million other things behind that door that you've got to do as soon as this podcast is over, because that's your life. And I think that you speak to women from such a place of experience, and it shows. And I just appreciate that about you. So thank you for being here.
Oh, Melissa, you are so kind. And I will tell you, behind that door is so much laundry that it's literally coming out of my closet and is spilling onto the floor because I prioritized rest last night over staying up doing one more load of laundry. So that is the reality. I am absolutely living this. And I'm so grateful for you and your willingness to have a really vulnerable conversation today. And I'm just so grateful for your voice and the way you use your platform. You really are such an inspiration to all of us moms.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Jessica Turner, for being here. And we will be right back to wrap up. For a copy of today's show notes, visit our website at ordinarypeopleordinarythings.com. You can also keep up with all of the latest by following me on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. If you're listening to the podcast today and something resonated with you, that's awesome. So if you want to learn more, then just go to the show notes or check out our site. There you will find links, pictures, and more information on all of the things we discussed. So I hope you'll click on the show notes and find out more about today's amazing guest. All right, Jessica, thank you so much for being here with us today. Thank you so much. We have enjoyed having you. I want to end with asking you a few questions. You can put a serious spin on these, hilarious spin on these, whatever, but these are about you. You leave everything else aside. Right now, this is all about Jessica. You be as selfish as you want.
I'm nervous. All right. Hit me.
Other than your immediate family, your kids and your husband, this could be a celebrity, a historical figure. It could be a sports team. Who do you love?
I love Julia Roberts.
Do you really?
I love her. Julia Roberts and Jennifer Garner.
Do you follow Jennifer Garner on Instagram?
I feel like Jennifer Garner and I would be really good mom friends.
I think you probably would.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Yeah. I love both of them.
Okay, so Julia Roberts totally tells me that you are a rom-com girly type right there.
Yeah, I'll take it. Mm-hmm.
And your favorite movie of hers is?
Pretty Woman, obviously.
Okay.
Is there any question?
No question. I am Sandra Bullock all the way.
Okay, fine. Sandra, I'll take that.
I feel like she's a poor man's Julia Roberts.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, she would be like, won an Academy Award, so I'm kind of not. What are you binging on right now? And this can be food, TV, doesn't matter, book.
I'm not a huge binger, but right now I'm in a season of reading a lot. Mm-hmm. So I'm a huge fiction reader. I actually have a separate Instagram just dedicated to talking about books called Book Snobbery. And right now is my season where I'm just reading all the books. So can I just say I'm binging on books? Is that such a weirdo answer?
It's a total nerd answer, but I get it.
It's so me though.
No, it's perfect. It's a great answer. And I'm glad that we can now tag, what'd you say, Book Snobbery?
Book Snobbery.
That is awesome.
I love it. It makes me so happy.
Speaking of books, your husband has a new children's book coming out. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it just came out. It's called When I Pray for You. And it is just the sweetest book. It's sort of like that book, I'll Love You Forever, I'll Like You For Always, As Long As I'm Living. You know, like it makes the mom cry and the kids like, why are you crying? You know, and it's the prayers that we pray for our kids as they grow. And it's just so sweet. And we're just over the moon excited about it.
Oh, come on. My kids are 10 and 12. And that is the kind of book that if I knew that they would just curl up in my lap and just let me read that to them, I'd do it even at 10 and 12. That is wonderful.
Totally.
Oh, guys. Well, I tell you what, we're going to link that too, because I know a lot of mamas are going to be after that. So that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing. Last question. I don't understand why blank.
I don't understand why people are so obsessed with the Kardashians.
I don't either. But do I follow Kim Kardashian? Yes, I do on Instagram. I don't know. I guess I just want to know what's going on with her hair all the time.
I know. And like, why does she post so many pictures where she's almost naked? Why, Kim?
The question is, would we, if we looked like that? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. It's a lot.
It is a lot going on, but people really, truly are like just obsessed with them. You're right. I love you, Jessica Turner. You are a delight and so wise in the truth that you deliver to moms and women. And we are better for having you here. So thank you so much, friend.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for joining us today for Ordinary People, Ordinary Things. And a special thanks to Jessica for being with us today. We loved having you so much. You really, really are such an incredible voice on this topic. Thank you, friend. Be sure and subscribe to our little podcast that could so that you don't miss a thing. We've got honestly some really interesting things coming up, and I don't want you to miss a single one of them, and you don't either. So make sure you subscribe, because you can't say to your friends, did you hear Melissa's latest podcast? And they're like, yeah, the one about basket weaving. And then you're like, what? I missed that one. Don't miss a thing. Also, I'll never have one on basket weaving. I give you my word. Enough with the guilt. Let's don't live another day with the shame. If you want to work, work. If you want to stay home, stay home. It's 2019. Working moms versus stay-at-home moms, that ain't even a thing anymore. It's not even an issue, okay? What is an issue is that we empower women. We hear that a lot, right? We empower women. But here's the thing. I don't want to just empower women for them to succeed or for them to be driven or for them to make money, but for them to live and live fully. Empower them to have friendships and make room in their life for self-care. Why would you have to empower women to do that, Melissa? You would be surprised how much guilt we feel when we go to bed having missed that wedding shower or forgotten to pick up the birthday gift. Never mind that we landed the big deal. Never mind that we were an emergency room nurse for like a 12-hour shift or that we taught algebra to a room full of kids. Never mind what we accomplished. We go to bed beaten down because of what we forgot. And yet, so often what we forget about is us. Shame on me. Shame on me if I spend the rest of my life traveling and speaking to large groups of women only to make them feel like they should get up. Come on, get up, run, keep running, never stop, keep going, you can do it. Instead, let me go on record right now as saying, no one can love your kids better than you do. No one can make your best friend laugh like you do. No one knows you better than you do. No one eats raw cookie dough better than you do. No one soaks in a bubble bath better than you do. No one Netflix binges on a Friday night with their family better than you do. So why don't you go home and do that? Show me the woman who has placed herself at the top of her list, and I'll show you a woman who's doing it right, who has learned the art of balance. And that's personally what I'm trying to find in my own life right now. Well, me and my counselor. Can you imagine Melissa Radke, a woman of balance? I can't even say it without laughing. Y'all, it would take a miracle. But as we know, miracles are all around us. We just get so used to seeing them, we call them ordinary things. Till next time.